Hi Celeste, I have reviewed your Adventuring into the Beginning of Algebra assignment from Module 3 where you drafted out your learning activities, and I'm going to give you feedback in this audio podcast. Overall, I think you've done a great job in laying out your activities. It's very clear to me from your assignment where you're going with the course, what you're doing. I can see how you are applying what you're learning in our course, in your own course, and so I'm very excited to see how you then transfer these activities into your course shell. Overall, there's a couple of things that I don't understand completely, and so I'll wait until it's more fleshed out in your course shell to be able to give you some additional feedback. One of the things that I want to call your attention to is how you label things and title things, and from your assignment, I can't really tell how some things are going to be titled necessarily, so and laid out. So I just want to call your attention to it, to the importance of how you label things, so that as you move your activities from this assignment into your course shell, you pay as much attention to everything that you give a title. As you did with the titling, with coming up with the modules for your course. It's important for a number of reasons, which I think I've talked about elsewhere in the course, but the way that you label things, especially in an online course, can convey, it's one of the mechanisms that you can use to convey instructional information to the students at the glance level. And so, rather than, for example, labeling a discussion simply discussion, if you give it some sort of contextual name at the glance level, students then are able to glean some information either that might have logistical value or actual instructional value. It can convey your as the instructor, your point of view, your perspective. How you chunk things and name things is going to convey some information to the students. It's also going to act as advanced organizers for the students so that they can begin to sort of chunk in their own mind the conceptual aspects of the course as well as the logistical aspects of the course. So there's a lot of power in how you label things, so I just want to call that to your attention as you begin to move your materials from this assignment into your course shell. So overall, I think you've done a great job, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how this progresses. I'm going to go through module by module and kind of give you my thoughts and suggestions, questions, and comments. I can see that you have been consistent from module to module, and this is a blended course for younger students. So, there are some differences in a blended course, obviously, than in a fully online course. I think you have done a great job in interpreting the and incorporating both environments into this course. So it looks great. So in your first module, you're asking, it's the ice-breaking module, and so you're asking who they are and kind of checking prior knowledge. Looks like you're, beginning the course with some conversation about the relevancy of the skills of algebra to their real life, which I like, that a lot. Tying that in right from the beginning looks really good. You're having them obviously get oriented to the course, create a profile. You're asking them to produce a, to include a picture. The complete two truths, one lie, I think that that's a discussion, and I think that's very cool. So if I understand it, they're supposed to tell two truths about themselves and one lie, and then they're supposed to guess, which I think is an interesting it's hard to tell exactly what's going on in this discussion because I don't see the actual instructions and the discussion question. But I do think that this could work. I just want to make sure that you, in your instructional materials for discussion, that you very clearly lay out what they're supposed to be doing and when and how. That there's some sort of a rubric and that you call their attention to it and use this discussion as a mechanism to introduce them to the rubric. And then that the discussion question, the guiding question that you leave for them really will produce authentic engagement and interaction that results in a conversation between the students and discussion. And so, you know, so if the instruction is tell two truths and one lie about yourself, then what do they do with that? Do they then try and guess, you know, which is the truth, which are the truths and which are the lie? And what do they do with that? How you have to actually help them understand, you know, what they're supposed to do. So I'm Johnny and I go to Janie and say, well, I think your lie is such and such. And then she comes back and says no. And then, and you know what I mean? Like work it out. See how it plays out. Is that the best way to do this? And what is the, you know, is there something else that you can layer in that will begin to get at having them disclose why learning algebra might be, you know, beneficial to them in real life, and how they might use it in life, and what their prior knowledge might be. I don't know if that's where you're going with this, but I just want to call your attention to really thinking through the authenticity of the interaction, because just because you label it a discussion and just because you say, you know, discuss or respond to two of your classmates, that doesn't make it a discussion. And in fact, it can be extremely irritating from a student perspective to not have an authentic thing to talk about. You're simply being forced to respond to two students and have to try and figure out, you know, what you're going to say, you know, if there's nothing there for you to actually think about and interact over. So you want to think about Bloom's taxonomy and getting at the higher order critical thinking skills and posing questions that are in fact, you know, maybe a little provocative, a little controversial, a little engaging, something that makes them think, makes them look at the concepts or the processes or the theories that you're talking about in terms of the content of the module and asks them to apply it in some way, to interpret it, to refute it, to engage in it and mix it up with something else and construct some new understanding. So the work of designing an effective discussion question really is the creative part of, and in some ways the hardest part of the design of the course. You know, again, I would, the framework that I recommend that you use is to think about your course learning objectives, to break those down into learning module objectives, to design activities that target specifically those learning module activities, and then to come up with mechanisms to assess, evaluate, and provide feedback to the student on each and every one of the learning activities that you design for the students. And in your case, it would be both in class and out of class, and somehow represented in this online companion to your class. So, that said, I'm looking at six things in your content presentation and four things in your evaluation section. Also, will you supplement with the feedback? So it may all be covered. I just want to mention it so that you check to make sure that everything that you're having them do, including explore the course setup and read all the information documents. I'm wondering if your scavenger hunt is how you're going to assess that, and if and that's a very clever, excellent, and noted effective practice in an online course to do it that way. So just make sure that you verify that everything that you're having them do, including reading or viewing videos or whatever you might be having them do, that there is some companion piece to the assessment, evaluation, and or feedback. Okay. Let's go to module two. I love your module titles. You did some great work in coming up with those. Remember, if you're presenting lecture videos, what are you going to label that section of the course? How are you going to label those videos? How about the guided notes? In addition, I mean, it's fine to say that these are lecture guided notes, but what are they about? Give some contextual, informational, instructional information with the materials and with the activities and with every piece of it, piece of how you lay the course out, including the quizzes. Everything. Don't just call it quiz, don't just call it discussion, but give it a contextually meaningful title, subject, label. So the format of the course essentially has to, you give them a module at a glance, you do some content presentation, which you separate out into daily and into during the module. And then they have a discussion and some assignments. So I don't understand the discussions. Sorry, are you going to in the discussions, are you going to prompt them with a guiding question, or are you going to simply rely on the students asking questions and then having students respond to each other's questions? And if so, I really need to understand how you're setting this activity up and what you're asking the students to do. Because if it's just open, like if it's just open, I don't know what they're gonna ask each other, and I would assume that you're going to guide those guide their questions with some kind of overarching guide, prompt, so that they can have some authentic way to contribute either their questions and or their answers. So it's real difficult for me to know without seeing more information about what the discussion all entails. You're saying that you're either you, it appears that you're going to be answering student questions by 5, or if asked after, at the beginning of the class the next day. So make sure when you say stuff that it's actually doable for you, that you're, like don't say what is possible that you might not be able to do. And I mean, that looks fairly doable, but I just want to call your attention to it. You should only say what you are absolutely certain you can do. So I love that you're giving, that they're going to view some lectures, that they're going to have a quiz, am I getting it, and a quiz, how did I do? I wouldn't label it summative quiz. The word summative doesn't mean anything to a student. Simply labeling it quiz, how did I do, would be fine, or just how did I do, or am I getting it? You can even leave off the word quiz. It might cause anxiety in students to label it that way. Remember that there's a lot of power in words, and then in an online course when you're labeling stuff, there's a lot of power there too. I mean, I think it's okay if you label it a quiz, but just I wouldn't use the word summative. All right. So, in Module 3, you're talking about keeping the balance. Make sure to spell check. Rational, I think, is misspelled in Module 3, and I think I saw another typo somewhere. So just make sure that you spell check. So they're going to look at some videos, some lecture notes. Lecture notes? Lecture videos? Don't call them lecture videos. Don't call them lecture notes. They're going to creating word problem, providing solution to you. I wish I understood better some of these activities. Like, what if they created a word problem and instead of submitting it to you, they posted it in discussion, and maybe there'd be some mechanism for you to review the word problem, and then it could be released in the discussion for other students to solve. So they'd have to create a problem and solve the problem. Create a problem for their classmates and solve one of their classmates' problems, something like that. The more that you can get them to interact and engage and share things with each other, and the more that you move the focus from you to them, the better. So, you know, having them come up with problems to solve, having them come up with their quizzes, having them come up with solutions to problems that other students have created is going to be a much more powerful experience, learning experience for them than if they simply submit it in isolation to you. So anyway, give that some thought. They're completing some kind of guided notes. I love that you're having them create problems. I think I'm looking at Module 3, keeping the balance. Complete two classmates' word problems. Yeah, I love that. So there's the ability for them to ask questions and answer their classmates' questions, which I love, and I'm looking forward to seeing how you actually lay that out, how you label that, you know, question corner, or you know, help, student help your classmate out or something. I mean, I'm not sure how you would label it, but looking forward to seeing that and how you instruct them and to actually do that. The other thing I wanted to mention was about making sure that you provide models and examples of things so that they are crystal clear on what it is you're looking for and how they can produce whatever it is you're asking them to produce, you know, without any question, so that they have some kind of example or model to look at. So again, they're doing word, creating word problems. They're responding to their word problems. They're doing in-class quizzes. They're doing daily work. They're doing tests. All right, module 4 is functioning in the math world. Again, they're going to view some videos. Don't call them lectures. Do some guided notes, which I'm not sure what it is. Is that something they read? Is that something they actually produce? I mean, instead of you providing them guided notes, what if they produce the guided notes? So look for opportunities where instead of you doing the work, you have them do the work. Look for opportunities where they can collaborate and interact over the work that they're producing. Is there an opportunity for instead of you providing the video, having them create the video? Remember, one of the most powerful mechanisms for learning is teaching. So if they can teach you, if there's opportunities now, obviously, you know, they don't know what they don't know, and they're learning what you want them to know and learn. But if there are creative ways that, you know, in the exploration of a particular process or concept or topic, that you can have them create a video to teach you how to do a particular word problem or to teach you a particular concept, like you present the concept of whatever. I don't know anything about. I'm trying to look back to see what one of the topics was. The properties of perfect square, cubes, integer exponents, and the use of numbers to express as a single, I mean, whatever. If you can get them to teach you the concept of the module, to produce something that teaches that to you and or to their classmates, then you can really see to what extent they understand, what extent they've learned, and to what extent they can apply what they've learned. So think about that, where there might be some opportunities for them to do that type of demonstration to you. Maybe there's a little study hall section in your course or a tutoring section in your course where they can go to post something that really encapsulates the learning that they've done module by module, and you could have them do it in different types of tools. Perhaps it could be in text, but perhaps it could also be in video, perhaps it could be a screencast of them actually working out a problem on the screen. So try and think about how you could creatively get them to demonstrate and make their learning visible to you, and the different ways that they might be able to do that, and to be creative and innovative in how they do that, and how they, demonstrate to you that they could teach you the concept or the theory or the approach or the application. vacation or whatever. And then at the same time, demonstrate some interest that they have, some personal interest that they have, and some skill that they might have. So trying to engage, them in multiple senses, and, both visual and written and auditory, is going to have a significant impact and positive effect on their learning and capturing their interest by letting them essentially take the wheel and drive the problem in an area of their own interest, and having them have to apply what they've learned in teaching someone the main concept, then is going to really reinforce their learning on lots of different levels. So just give it some thought, mull it around, and see what you think and what you come up with. Your module 4 is functioning in a math world. I would also suggest that you incorporate in each module some kind of area or section or opportunity for them to understand and relate to how the topic of the particular module, the concepts in that particular module, are relevant to their own real life, either now or in the future. And you might want to think about a discussion that might address that, we're talking about quadratic equations or whatever. Why do we want to know how to do quadratic equations, and how is that relevant in your real life today, and how might you be able to use that in the future? So forcing them to think, or getting them to think about the context and the relevance of the particular thing that you're asking them to learn and study. It's answering the question of why, as opposed to being some abstract thing or something, the problems that exist that are, contextually sort of obtuse or not clear, not obscure, I guess is the word. Having them really grapple with it, to think about what does this mean? How is it useful to me? How am I going to use this today and tomorrow and in the future? Why? It's kind of answering the question, why am I doing this? Why is it relevant? Why should I care about this? And you could capture that in a learning blog or in a discussion. So give that some thought. All right, where are we here? Module 5, coordinating your functions. Again, there's videos, there's guided notes, there's in-class work, there's quizzes. They're going to ask questions. They're going to answer their classmates' questions. So it's pretty much the same, similar, consistent in structure from previous modules. In Module 6, you move on to right angles and having the students solve real world and mathematical problems, which I think is cool, especially if they really are real world problems. And I would suggest that you let them come up with their real world problems, because your real world problems are not real to them. There's nothing real about it. And even if you say somebody else's real world problems, or use someone else's real world problems, it's not relevant to them. Let them come up with their scenarios, using their, you know, stuff in their room or stuff in their house or stuff in their family or stuff they want to, you know, that they might care about, try to make it, you know, engage them in coming up with their real world problems. Create your own PT problem, Pythagorean theorem problem. Cool. That sounds fun. That sounds cool. They're going to ask and answer questions. Again, you know, having some sort of a reflective activity about what they've learned, how they can apply what they've learned, how it's relevant to them today and tomorrow and in the future, how do they know they've learned, what helped them in their learning, what hindered them in their learning. Those are questions that could seed some sort of a reflective activity that will reinforce their learning and give you insights into where individuals are and help you to be able to diagnose where individuals are having problems and issues and give you great insight into their learning. I would, you know, recommend that you think about adding some kind of a discussion or reflective activity for the students to engage in to further help them reinforce their learning and make their thinking and their learning visible to you and their struggles. So you're able to diagnose misperceptions and problems and challenges that students are having by looking at their reflections on some of those things I mentioned. Okay, Module 7, intersect or not intersect again, lectures, notes, classwork, quizzes. Looks good. They're going to do something called a math book, which I don't have a clear idea of what that is. Create a systems of equations book. That sounds intriguing. Okay, and then module 8 is your final module, and this is where they talk about what they've learned. And they have their midterm, and they take their class survey. I wouldn't call it a survey, and I wouldn't call it a, you know, course evaluation or whatever. Spell check, don't forget to spell check, class discussion is spelled wrong. You know, the thing that's missing is your class community area. So you want to have a place and I would call it a module because that's how you have to, that's what the mechanism that you have in the course management system. So I would create a module 9, call it something cool, but it's essentially your class community area. And it's where you would put your bulletin board for announcements. It's where you would put maybe a place for resources and links, possibly. It's where you might put a study hall so that the students could go in and network and interact with each other. Or it might be, you know, a tutoring place where the students could go in and help each other work out some problems. There might be a parent corner in there so that, you know, you could give access to the area for parents and you could put some information in there for the parents. You could put a suggestion box in there. And in fact, the descriptive feedback, what you're calling the class survey, could also go in there and be activated at the end of the semester. So let me talk a little bit about the survey. It's not a course evaluation, it's not an instructor evaluation, it's not something that your administration would ever see. It's really a way for you to solicit constructive feedback from the students that you will then use to review, revise, and improve your course. So it's not really like an open-ended question, like what did you like about the course, or what didn't you like about the course, or did you like the course, or sort of vague questions like that. It's very specific. It's called descriptive feedback, and it's really asking very pointed and specific questions so that you get as useful information as possible. You have the potential to get as much useful information from the students as possible regarding specific aspects of your course. So go to the course manual, our course manual, and look up descriptive feedback or culminating activity in there. I have a model for you to work from. You can either adapt it or adopt it. It asks like 8 or 10 questions, specific questions, and they're generic enough that they could be used by anyone. And then when you are coming back to review and prepare for the next semester, the next time you teach the course, you'll have the students, they will have provided you with some information from their perspective about their experience in your course, and you can review that feedback and decide whether or not it's something that you want to think about in terms of making revisions and improvements to your course. Obviously, you need to sort of filter and calibrate what the students are saying with your own experience and with your own ideas about what worked and what needs improvement. And obviously, kind of filter through what the students are giving you. Capturing that information from a class at the end of a semester, the end of a delivery of a course is very important. That can really add an additional dimension and perspective to your the review of your course and the preparation of it for the next time. All right, Celeste, you have done a great job so far. I'm really looking forward to seeing how you implement this feedback into the actual design of your course and seeing it laid out in your course shell. Good job.